What could Dorothy Gale and her tornado in The Wizard of Oz have to do with the season of Lent? Stay tuned for Sunday Insight to find out. Welcome to Sunday Insight, a synopsis of the worship experience here at Wayzata Community Church. Today is the first Sunday of Lent, and we're kicking off a sermon series based on the characters in The Wizard of Oz. So let's join the congregation already in worship.
When all the world is a hopeless jumble, and the raindrops tumble all around, heaven opens a magic lane. When all the clouds darken up the skyway, there's a rainbow, a highway to be found, leading from your window pane to a place behind the sun. Upon a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where you'll find me, somewhere over the rainbow. Birds fly.
Believing that Lent is a season in which we look inward into our own heart and into our own lives, we've decided to go along with the work that's going to be done in this church over the next several weeks to prepare for the production of The Wizard of Oz. We think within that show there are some wonderful lessons about the true self that already resides within us, a truth that we can see in the many characters of that story and of that production. So we're just going to go with this over the next few weeks. We're going to, 1 week at a time, look at a different character from this very well-known and beloved show. And by about March 14th or so, we'll be ready to see it in full living color right here on the chancel of our church. We're going to begin today by looking at the character of Dorothy, sort of the central character, to be sure. And then we'll move on through the Scarecrow, who's looking for a brain. We'll see the Tin Man, who's looking for some heart. The cowardly lion, who of course wants some nerve in the form of courage. But the story itself is never quite enough. We're going to always be sure to look at it through the lens of Scripture. We think there's some great lessons contained in this, and we hope that you'll come along for this journey with us. We're going to begin this morning by using the lens from Matthew 7. All you need to know ahead of this reading is that these are the words of Jesus. That Carolyn is going to read them, but this is Jesus speaking to us right now, right here, today. So give attention to the Word of God as it comes from Matthew 7.
Everyone, then, who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Famous last words. I mean that literally. Those are famous last words. Those are the last words of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount. The most exhaustive, the most specific, the most detailed message that Jesus provided that we have in Scripture. Those were the last words of it. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man. Famous last words. You know, whether it's for a 15-minute sermon or for a 1,500-page novel, whether it's for musicals that will appear on Broadway or for movies that go on the big screens, the last lines of any creative effort are among the most important ones that the creator can pen, that the writer might write, or that the preacher might preach. Famous last words. As it turns out, for Jesus, these were them, and there are others. See how you do on the same quiz I've given all morning. I'm going to give you the last line of a famous movie. See if you can tell me what the movie is. Here's the first one. Lewis, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship. What is it? Casablanca. Somebody in the choir got it. Sound familiar? All right, I'll give you another. See if you can warm up. Here's another last line. After all, tomorrow is another day. Huh? Okay, I can hear you guys. I want to hear them too. You're closer. That was Gone with the Wind. Okay, we're going to fast forward a little bit. How many of you remember this one? I'll be right here. E.T. The extraterrestrial. It's more like, I'll be right here. Is that better? How about this one? One of my favorites. Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads. Doc Brown from Back to the Future. Here's one more. It's really obscure, so I'm hoping anybody in the room will get it. You ready? Here it is. There's no place like home. Is there anybody in the room that would dare to raise their hand and confess that they don't know what movie the line, there's no place like home, comes from? Everybody all morning has known. From the youngest to the oldest, The Wizard of Oz is such a well-known, it's such a beloved, and it is such a beautiful story. So that's why we're going to spend some time on it. And this famous last line of that movie coincides with these famous last words of Jesus in Scripture today about everyone hearing his words and the wisdom of acting on them. We're going to start with Dorothy. Let's just start with the central character of this. Today, we're going to spend a few minutes on Dorothy and specifically on the tornado of her life, the storm that she endures. Let's pray let's bow together. Loving and gracious God, as a gift of your Spirit, speak to us. Speak to us, for your church is listening. Amen. So Dorothy Gale, who is Dorothy Gale? You remember from the story, from The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy is an orphan. I don't think it's the first thing we think of when we think of Dorothy, but it's as far as we know, she's an orphan. She's living with Auntie and Uncle. Nobody ever remembers the uncle's name. Like, what's up with that? Everybody remembers Auntie Em. It's a sweet name, but Uncle Henry. She obviously doesn't have anywhere else to live, at least at this moment in time. We don't know if they're blood relatives or just a sweet, endeared couple that take her in. Dorothy has a dog. The dog's name is? Of course, everybody remembers Toto. I took the chance last night to rewatch the film. It had been years since I watched it. One thing that I didn't notice the first 40 times I watched it is kind of how ugly Toto is. That's an ugly little dog. It is. It's an ugly dog. I'm sorry. He's ugly. Our Toto in the show this March is going to be a beautiful little puppy dog. Toto, her companion every step of the way. Toto. It occurs to me Dorothy is a very, she's a fearless young woman. Remember when she slaps the lion right in the face? I mean, that took a little courage to step right out and smack that lion. And she stands up to the wicked witch. I mean, time and again, we see her as a relatively fearless young woman. We know that she is lost. That's kind of the whole point of the story. But she is not hopeless. She's lost, but she's not hopeless. There have been hundreds of actors who have portrayed this part, this role, this character of Dorothy over the years, over the decades. The young woman who will be playing her in our production this spring, her name is Cindy Baumgartner, and I asked her to share the most known, most famous song of Dorothy's, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, after the sermon this morning. But it's not the rainbow that shapes who Dorothy is nearly so much as the storm before it. Of all the things that we should remember about the character Dorothy is that she is the victim of a storm that she didn't even see coming. And that's how it usually is with storms, right? We don't see them coming. Before we know it, we're engulfed in them, spinning around, disoriented. You know, storms come to everyone. We're all equally susceptible to storms in life. Storms come to the righteous and to the wicked alike. There are only two kinds of people in the world, those who have been in and endured a storm and those who someday will. Storms are a universal experience of humankind. And storms are always, at a minimum, disorienting. We don't know where we are after we've been through them, at least for a period of time. Remember in the film when Dorothy steps out of the black and white world of Kansas and her little farmhouse into the technicolor world of Oz and Munchkin Land? She steps out of the storm into this new place, and the first thing she says to Toto is, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore. She's disoriented. She's lost, and that's our experience of storms as well. Whole bunch of other emotions mixed up with storms. Confusion, fear, anger, doubt, bitterness, guilt, for some exhilaration. All kinds of emotions around storms. We experience storms, it seems to me, in sort of two buckets of our lives. One kind of storm comes to us in a very personal or private way. It looks like a diagnosis or a disease. It might be the death of a loved one, the divorce of a spouse or a friend, a depression, financial challenges. I mean, the list goes on and on of the storms that come to us that we experience in personal and private ways. And then there are the collective or communal storms, the things that we all experience together or at the same time, each in different ways. Don't misunderstand me, but that we all know about. And this past Wednesday is just the most recent example of a collective and a communal storm when 17 innocent students and teachers are murdered in their school. That's a storm that's come to all of us. It's collective and it's communal. We see collective and communal storms that come to us generationally. We call young people these days millennials because of when they were born. But they are more defined by the world that they're trying to become adults in than by anything else. They're in the midst of a storm that the rest of us can't understand because the world is so significantly different now than it was when any of us were trying to become adults. It's a collective, communal storm. And a similar one is with our seniors. There are more people turning 65 years of age every day right now for the next decade than at any other time in our country's history. There's a tsunami of seniors that are going to have unique needs, a different kind of loneliness. And it's a storm. It's a collective and a communal storm. Well, Jesus had a few things to say about storms. In fact, Jesus spoke to, through, and about storms on a pretty regular basis. As it turns out, you survey the Gospels, you'll see it's one of his favorite topics. He spoke to storms. He literally spoke to a storm on the Sea of Galilee and said, "Quiet down." And it did. Whoa. Wind and waves and rain, it just stopped and it became calm. He spoke to that storm. He spoke through the storms of his own life. He spoke through the storm of his arrest, of his trial, of his execution. He spoke through that storm, always speaking words of peace and forgiveness. And he spoke about storms as well, as he did in the passage that Carolyn read this morning. He spoke to and through, but about storms. And this passage in Matthew 7, again, among his most famous last words, the very last words of his Sermon on the Mount, the one that he hoped we would remember, just like you remembered all the last lines of those movies, Jesus hoped that we would remember these words for the ways that they help us prepare for the storms that are coming in life. So reflecting on these words of Jesus, remembering the story of Dorothy and her storm, let's look at some ways that we might build lives, build our homes on rock-solid foundations. Just a couple quick thoughts about that this morning. First is that there is no yellow brick road in Kansas or anywhere else. There is no yellow brick road in Kansas or anywhere else. Dorothy's first words in that Technicolor world of Oz, right? The words were, "We're not in Kansas anymore." She's standing on the yellow brick road in a make-believe land. In the real world, there is no yellow brick road. To put it differently, there is no easy way out of the storms in life. There's just no easy pre-paved path out of the difficulties and the storms that life will bring. And honestly, when you look at the Wizard of Oz, the yellow brick road wasn't even an easy path for her. It became in time a dead end, right? It wasn't the solution for her. It only got her so far. But for the rest of us who have to live in the real world, there are no yellow brick roads. Theologically speaking, let me put it this way. God does not create our storms or an easy escape from them. Let me say it again. God does not create our storms or an easy escape from them. We have a God of minimum protection, but maximum support. We have a God who set us free, gave us the greatest gift ever when we got kicked out of the Garden of Eden to live in a world that's filled with storms. So that on a day of deep and unspeakable darkness, we also know that there are those days of bright and brilliant sunlight and serenity. And through it all, there's no yellow brick road to just lead us the way. Jesus says that the rains fell. In his little parable, he said the rains fell on the man. It's just a fact of life. It was just a matter of fact that the rains would come, the winds would blow. But what mattered then was a stone, solid, rock solid foundation. My friends, discipleship is not some specific ethical formula made up of a bunch of little yellow bricks all lined up together. That's not discipleship. Discipleship is following Jesus, attending to Jesus on a path of continual discernment. Each and every day, we have to make some prayerful and careful decisions about where to go next because there's no yellow brick road in Kansas or anywhere else. But a path of discernment to which we've been invited, which brings me to the second thing. So first of all, there are no yellow brick roads in Kansas or anywhere else. Secondly, that discernment is best done in the context of a community. Remember that yellow brick road, it fails Dorothy real quickly after she leaves Munchkin Land. So she's heading down the yellow brick road. She's skipping. She's got her basket and all that stuff. All of a sudden, she comes to a place where the yellow brick road goes that way, and it goes that way, and it goes that way, and she doesn't know which way to go. It's in that moment that her community is born because it's in that moment of discernment that she meets her first and best friend, Scarecrow. Now, along the rest of that road, that later they meet the Tin Man, the Cowardly Lion, and eventually the Wizard of Oz himself. And in that, she has a community. And I tell you what, there's a whole sermon series coming about the importance of community and belonging. But for right now, Dorothy and those friends formed that community within which she was able to discern. Right? And it's a community of discernment that looks an awful lot when we look at it closely, like Jesus and his disciples coming together, discerning together a path forward. There's a beautiful moment, by the way, when the communities we're in have a funny way of changing because our communities are made up of people who are constantly changing. Even in The Wizard of Oz, at the end of the movie, when Oz goes from being this huge, disembodied green face up above the flames and smoke, remember that? To a real guy behind the curtain. All of a sudden, this Oz is this real man, and the curtain gets pulled back, and Dorothy is furious. And she says to him, "You are a bad, bad man." You remember what he says back to her? It's my favorite moment in the whole movie. He says, "Oh, no, I'm a good man. I'm just a really bad wizard." You see, we all have these goods and bads that we bring to this community together. And through that, somehow God works with us. It's discernment done best in community. And this is the community that Jesus has given us. The church is the community where we can best hear what he calls these words of mine. So there's no yellow brick road in Kansas. Discernment is best done in the context of community. The last thing is this. Even if home is no different when we get back there, we are different. Even if home is no different than when we left, we are different. The closing scene, it really struck me last night. It struck me how abrupt the last scene is, and I don't know if they were trying to cut the film to fit within a certain time length or whatever, but if you watch it again, and I hope you will sometime soon, it ends really abruptly. They go from the Emerald City back to Dorothy's bedroom, and there she is laying in her bed, and there's Auntie Em, and there's Uncle Henry, and there come the three farmhands, and they're all the same. And her room is the same, and the farm is the same. Everything is the same, and she's saying, but I'm so different. I've seen all this stuff, don't you believe? And none of them believe her. But they don't have to believe her because she knows the change that she has experienced herself, the lessons that she had to learn herself. We are different, even when the world around us isn't. And that's why at the close of every worship service, I remind you of that passage in Romans that says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remake you from within. Even when our home is no different, we are. And when we allow the words of Jesus, like his words on the Sermon on the Mount, to remake us from within, then the Sermon on the Mount becomes the Sermon off the Mount. And that's the whole point. There's no yellow brick road in Kansas or anywhere. Discernment is best done in a community of friends. And even when home is no different, we are. So let me close with this image, this last reminder of something I think you already know. And it's simply that we make the road by walking. We make the road by walking it. This is the fictional story of Dorothy. She walks her way through this journey. You know, when she's first going to head off to go find the Oz, the good witch says, well, where's your broom? She says, I don't have a broom, because she's not really a witch. And then the good witch says, well, then you're just going to have to walk. And that's what she does. She makes the road by walking. That's the fictional story of Dorothy Gale. But it is also the true call of Christ. His famous last words, everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like the wise man who built his house on rock. What are the personal or private storms of your life right now? I know they're in the room. I hear them from you. I'm privileged and hold those in very sacred ways. What are those personal and private storms that you're in the midst of right now? What's the next step that you need to take? In what ways do you need to act on your faith and walk that talk? Maybe you're blessed not to have any major storm in your personal or private life. Consider the collective and communal storms around us. Just take your pick. There are plenty, and every single one of them is calling you to take a step, to make the road by walking, to walk the talk of your faith. Not my idea. It's the call of Christ, and it always has been. Because sermons, no matter how terrific the last line of them may be, Jesus or others, sermons are never given to get something said or even to get something heard. They're given to get something done. So the last word for today, anyway, because I can't improve upon them anyway, the famous last words of today will be these last words of Jesus from his sermon. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. May it be so in our lives and in our world. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Sunday Insight. Wayzata Community Church is a United Church of Christ congregation that welcomes all people into every aspect of our ministry and full membership of our church. believing deeply that discrimination and exclusion in any form is incompatible with Christ's message of unconditional love. If you'd like to learn more about Wayzata Community Church, please visit our website, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or download our weekly podcast. We offer 5 worship services each week, 8 a.m. with communion in our chapel, 9 a.m. and 10:45 a.m., and Parables, special needs worship service in the chapel at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday. We also offer full adult and children's programming every Wednesday, including WOW, Worship on Wednesday at 6:15 p.m. in the sanctuary. And we'll see you in church.